From NPR News in Washington, I'm Paul Brown. Activists in the Syrian opposition say the regime's troops have fired bullets and tear gas on civilians to disperse thousands of pro-democracy demonstrators today, and shelling, as heard in this amateur video, continues in the city of Homs. A ceasefire has been unraveling bit by bit, and U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton says the U.N. Security Council should adopt an arms embargo against the Syrian leadership. State media report a roadside bomb has killed 10 Syrian soldiers. The U.N. has 7 international observers in Syria and wants 300. Anders Behring Breivik has been describing in testimony the elaborate preparations he says he made before setting out on a rampage of mass killing in Norway last year. NPR's Philip Reeves reports Breivik tells a court in Oslo that he studied attacks by al-Qaeda.
Many are horrified by Breivik's lack of remorse in court. And now he's reinforced that impression with an account of his meticulous preparations for the killings. Breivik said he studied each and every attack carried out by al-Qaeda, which he described as the world's most successful revolutionary movement. He said he read more than 600 bomb-making guides and studied the Oklahoma bombing, in which Timothy McVeigh killed 168 people 17 years ago. Breivik admits massacring 77 people, mostly teenagers, in a bombing and shooting rampage last year, but denies criminal responsibility. He told the court he's basically a nice person who had trained himself to stifle his emotions so he could carry out the attacks. Philip Reeves, NPR News.
Today, the final day of campaigning for French presidential candidates. NPR's Eleanor Beardsley reports that voters go to the polls in the first round on Sunday, and by law, all campaign activity must cease 2 days beforehand.
The French will choose between 10 candidates on Sunday. The top two vote-getters will face off in a second round on May 6th. Poll results show President Nicolas Sarkozy still trailing his socialist rival François Hollande, but Sarkozy supporters like Nicolas Pugnas, who attended a recent rally, say they are not giving up. Sarkozy has done amazing work with Europe in the economic crisis, even if everyone doesn't understand this, says Pugnas. Still, he says, there are enough people with good sense who are voting to re-elect Sarkozy. Candidates on the extreme left and right are vying for third place. Analysts say the large fringe vote shows a huge rejection of mainstream policies. Up to a third of French voters say they are still undecided. Eleanor Beardsley, NPR News, Paris.
Stock prices are up in early trading, with profits from bellwethers including McDonald's and General Electric coming in better than analysts expected. The Dow Industrials at last check up 70 points, the Nasdaq Composite up 17. This is NPR News. An unusual trial in New York City brings convicted terrorists from around the world into a Brooklyn courtroom today. NPR's Dina Temple-Raston reports the trial focuses on a 2009 plot to bomb New York City subways.
When most people think of the so-called shoe bomber, they think of a British man named Richard Reed, the man who boarded a plane in 2001 and failed to light explosives hidden in his shoes. What fewer people know is that there was a second man, Sajid Badat, who was also supposed to blow up a plane with a shoe bomb. He got cold feet and backed out of the attack at the last minute. He's been in a British prison for over a decade. But he appeared in a videotaped deposition in Brooklyn as part of a case against an American named Addis Medayanin. All week, the prosecution has called convicted terrorists to testify about how al-Qaeda plots develop. Medayanin has pleaded not guilty, saying he decided not to go through with the subway attack. Dina Temple-Raston, NPR News, New York.
The perjury trial of baseball pitching ace Roger Clemens starts today. NPR's Nina Totenberg reports it has been tough to assemble a jury.
By the end of last week, the judge, prosecutors, and defense lawyers had settled on a pool of 36 prospective jurors qualified to sit. Today, the prosecution and defense will use their limited number of so-called peremptory strikes to whittle the group down to 12 jurors and 4 alternates. Peremptory strikes are challenges for no stated reason. The defense has up to 12 and the prosecution up to 8. Once the jury is chosen, the judge will instruct the jurors and opening statements will begin. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.
This is NPR News.